diet soda, chewing gum, yogurt, cereal. Nope. This isn't a grocery list. These are everyday products that contain a very popular artificial sweetener called aspartame. And earlier this month, the World Health Organization declared aspartame as a possible carcinogen. Now, of course, there are people who don't agree with that. They said this was too soon to say something like this. You put people in a panic. I don't really want to get into the politics of it. Honestly, I'd like to get into more of the nitty-gritty of the products that have aspartame in them and understand if they're really good for us or not. And so joining us to talk more about this is Dr. Jackie Cameron with Hartford Healthcare. She is a medical weight loss physician, and she's here today to talk a little bit more about aspartame in general and some of the products that you will commonly find that artificial ingredient in. So hello to you, Dr. Cameron. Thank you so much for being on WICC. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
So first of all, for people who may hear these very big medical terms and may not know exactly what the news is talking about, let's start with what is a carcinogen? When we hear cancer causing, these are very scary words. What are carcinogens?
Well, a carcinogen is something that we believe may increase your risk for developing cancer. Sometimes it gets oversimplified in saying that this substance definitely causes it, but there are degrees of certainty or uncertainty. Some things are quite clearly do lead to cancer, which is tobacco, things like that. But others, it's not quite so clear what the actual risk is, although we think it might be elevated.
Let's give people some examples, just to even make this more clear for people. Dr. Cameron, where have we heard about carcinogens being found, maybe in recent news stories, like even if it's a national example, where have we heard maybe some in recent years carcinogens pop up in the news that people would remember?
Sure. The big one is tobacco. But another important one for, when we think about what we want to eat is processed meats. The World Health Organization put those on the suspect list in 2015. Pardon me. Weed killers, another important source. And then there get to be things like PFAS. Perfluorooctanoic acid and, things with long chemical names that show up in just about every area of life, like pesticides and furniture, nail polish, pizza boxes, candy wrappers, dental floss. It's pretty scary. We know that these things can disrupt the body, and some of them might increase your risk for cancer as well. There are also some things in the same group with aspartame, like Asian pickled vegetables and aloe vera, drinking aloe vera, that they're concerned about, or eating fiddlehead ferns for the foodies out there. So there's a lot of things that have question marks around them.
And we've also heard, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if it's aspartame so much as we've just heard that there are other cancer-causing elements, I guess, in tainted water. Haven't there been concerns nationwide? I mean, depending on where you are,
that you have the
water, right? That's been another thing.
Yes. Oh, well, we've had a long history of, everything from pollutants being dumped in the water to just these chemicals that can leak in from manufacturing or animal, farming, things like that. So to the bottles we put our water in, to the pans we cook our food in. So, as the chemical industry has grown and it's given us all kinds of good products and useful things, but there are risks that go along with it that sometimes get masked in the pursuit of profit on the parts of the companies.
Okay, so now for people who are playing catch up and wanted to understand why there were a lot of, especially medical experts, going, whoa, hold on, hold the phone, don't say that aspartame is in fact a carcinogen when we don't know just enough. Now you can understand some of the controversy around it if you didn't realize ahead of time. This is very serious stuff. And so I don't want to get into the controversy so much. I want to talk a little bit more about the products that actually have aspartame in them, with or without the announcement of WHO earlier this month, what we should know about these products. And so joining us again, we have Dr. Jackie Cameron here, who is a Hartford Healthcare medical weight loss physician. Let's talk about some of these common products, if you don't mind, Jackie. So, for example, diet sodas. People have no clue how bad they are. I'm sorry. I hate to say that, but it's so true. Oh, gosh, it's terrible.
Well, and yes, and the thing is it's not just diet sodas. It's many diet products. And as we've also seen in the news recently, these artificial sweeteners like aspartame, even, you know, the old school saccharin you don't hear so much about anymore, or sucralose, or I'm not sure how to say it, but erythritol has been in the news too. So they do have, we very strongly suspect they do have important effects on the body. One of the problems with the super sweetness of the artificial sweeteners, some of which are aspartame, I believe is about 200 times sweeter than sugar. We think that they might actually sort of trick the brain. And when the brain, when we sense sweetness, our bodies expect some calories to travel with it. And when they don't get the calories, it's just possible that that might seek us and, you know, send us in search of calories elsewhere. So it's possible that it might increase sweet cravings or food cravings. So that's one risk. Another risk is that these chemicals probably, and I'm going out on a limb here, but they probably damage the gut microbiome, and that's the bugs that line us all the way through our entire gastrointestinal tract. And that, you know, we're still learning a lot about that, but it definitely affects pretty much every body system. And when it's disrupted, it might be a contributor to diseases like obesity, possibly even diabetes. So you want the healthiest population of, you know, bacteria and other bugs in your gut as possible in order to live a healthy life. And the more chemicals like this that we consume, the higher the likelihood of damage. So in general, really best to aim for simpler foods with lower ingredient lists, whole foods, whenever possible.
We have Dr. Jackie Cameron here, a Hartford Healthcare medical weight loss physician, and we are talking about the recent news that came from the World Health Organization last week in regards to aspartame. And really, we want to talk about how much is too much. We were just talking about diet sodas, for example, and the many, many, many products that have aspartame in them. So, Jackie, tell us, how much is too much when it comes to this kind of sugar intake?
Well, sugar is a funny thing. You know, really, it's there are those who would say that any sugar is too much. But I believe in we're not really aiming for perfection. We're aiming for health, right? And we're aiming to get healthier all the time. So if you're having a lot of sugar right now, the trick would be to start to reduce it. A funny example one doctor gave. He was talking to a patient who was adding, he asked, how much sugar do you add to your coffee? And she said, I add 17 packets. And he gulped and paused and said, would you consider 16? And so that's kind of the approach I take, is that, you know, if sugar is a major player in your day-to-day eating habits, how might we begin to reduce that? Some things you may be able to cut out cold turkey if you don't miss them. But one thing I tell people is, if you really, really, really love something, then we need to find out a way to keep it. Perhaps less frequently, perhaps in smaller amounts. But what we're not after is deprivation. We're after health, and better health all the time.
And there are some things that have natural sugars in them, you know, like fruits, for example, that, you know, a doctor is not going to, I mean, they would never come up with the saying, you know, an apple a day keeps the doctor away if we weren't supposed to have apples, but that has a natural sugar in it. So, you know, I think, like right. you said, it's all kind of, you know, gradual. What would you say, though, like, so Dr. Cameron, I know I'm going to have, especially some of my mom friends who are like, what are you talking about? I can't put sugar in my coffee. What do you mean I can't have diet sodas? And then it's like, whoa, hold on, stand by. What would be your recommendation? Obviously, to cut down on the amount that you have.
Yeah.
But, like, what are some healthier alternatives that you would recommend? Like, hey, this is actually really great, and it could do some of the effect that you already get out of your diet sodas or your coffees or whatever the case may be.
Right. Well, one, you know, many, I have many people who say that they don't like the taste of water. So what you can do is you can play around with the temperature. Some people like warmer water. Some people drink hot water or hot water with lemon. Adding citrus to any kind of water, particularly cold, though, can be a really great way to add flavor without adding any calories. And then adding a little vitamin C while you're at it. Some people, you could throw some, even a strawberry or two in some water and refrigerate it overnight, and then you get an infused flavor of fruit. Some like more savory things like cucumbers. But you can also drink a herbal tea. You could make that iced or you can drink that hot. It has no calories, no additives, but it does have some flavor.
So those are some really nice alternatives. And in general, Dr. Cameron, what would you say about aspartame? You know, like is that something that, because I know there are also going to be the listeners out there who are like, all right, you know what? I'm eliminating everything with aspartame in it. And it's like, good luck. What do you recommend, you know, like to your patients who are going to want to say, okay, I'm nixing this out of everything. And it's like, okay, then you are going to eat three foods. You know, what would you say to those patients who just want to nix aspartame altogether?
Well, you know, then you bring your magnifying glass to the grocery store and you look at ingredient lists very carefully. But also know that there are many, many chemicals out there in our foods that also are questionable, like sucralose or erythritol or, you know, other sweeteners. I would try to avoid buying foods that contain any artificial sweeteners, although their names, there's a lot of different names and it's a little bit difficult to find them. However, you can look for things with short ingredient lists with names that you recognize. I would not recommend drinking juice because as an alternative. However, I would recommend whole fruits because the sugar in juice can get absorbed. It gets absorbed very quickly and irritates the liver as well. So when it's paired with the fiber, and as in a whole fruit, that's much healthier. So I would say if you want to avoid it completely, like you said, good luck. But we can reduce it. We can be smart. If you love, love, love diet soda, I would aim to pare it down to one per day at first, and then maybe just a couple of times per week as a special treat. You could try seltzer water that does not have any additives. And that, too, you need to read the ingredient list because some have no additives and some have artificial sweeteners. If it's sweet, and it probably shouldn't be, like water, then something's been added to it. So be smart. And remember that what we're really after is we want to treat our bodies well. We want to nourish our bodies and try not to damage them. So we want to have tasty things and fun times with friends, but with as little damage as possible.
And if you want to learn more about this specifically, you can go to whatwillyougain.org. So all spelled out, whatwillyougain.org. And Dr. Jackie Cameron, I really appreciate having you on the air. You're fun and you're super straight to the point. And I just love talking to you. I learned an awful lot today. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It was a real privilege.
Well, you are welcome back anytime. So I will let Jocelyn know because I thought you were fabulous. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Dr. Jackie Cameron here again, Hartford Healthcare Medical Weight Loss Physician on WICC. We have been tracking the flooding, of course, with our neighbors up in the north, up in Vermont. We know there are some rescue crews from Connecticut up there right now, including even representation from the American Red Cross. And even recently, over this past weekend, we had some flooding even here in Connecticut in certain spots. And so joining us today is the Better Business Bureau. Kristen Johnson is back because we want to talk about flooding. And what do we do after a flood? In fact, according to the National Severe Storms Laboratory, floods occur in every U.S. state and territory and take more lives each year than tornadoes, hurricanes, or lightning. Interesting. So, Kristen, thank you for coming on. Very timely topic, and I appreciate your time. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much. So obviously the moments after a storm or a natural disaster, you know, that could feel incredibly overwhelming for any person because you go outside or you're even in your own home and you're looking at the flooding damage and it's just an awful lot to take in. What do you suggest in those first moments of realizing, wow, this is going to enter into my flooding journey that I was not prepared for.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming. So the first thing is take a breath. Don't make any rash decisions and don't feel pressured by anyone, especially a quote unquote storm chaser who's going door to door offering unsolicited help. Instead, what you want to do is assess the damage first and make sure you take pictures or even video and then contact your insurance company immediately. You don't want to make any permanent repairs until you get the approval of your insurance company because they may not fully reimburse you for it. You should make temporary repairs, though, repairs that would protect your home from the elements, for instance, and then save all your receipts so that you can be refunded by your insurance company at a later date.
Okay. Do you have kind of like an example? I know you said temporary repairs or something that essentially needs to be done right then and there for the protection of you and your family. But like, what's an example of that, Kristen?
So I would say if there is a tree on your roof and you're worried that it's going to fall into your house, you know, you want to find a reputable contractor, not someone that's going door to door, to get that off of your house. If it's in a situation, obviously, if it's like over a bedroom, maybe you might need to stay at a hotel, and that's why you contact your insurance company right away. Or if there's water getting into your home, if you can patch that up to prevent further damage, that would be another example.
Okay, but if a tree falls on the fence on your property, not necessarily one of those things that you need to answer that call right away. That's something that would not be like a temporary repair. I see what you're saying. So let's talk about hiring a contractor, because this is one that I think people, even when there isn't a natural disaster, unfortunately get scammed on, which is finding a reputable company or finding somebody who is trustworthy. How do you suggest people going about finding a solid contractor?
So at BBB.org, we have specific divisions for all different types of contractors. If you're looking for mold remediation, if you're looking for flood insurance, if you're looking for roof repair or debris removal or water damage mitigation, you can look that up specifically in your area. Look for accredited businesses that have that BBB seal and find their ratings. Look at reviews, complaints, how they handle those complaints, but also talk to people you know. You can get some of the best advice from people who have used these contractors before that you know and trust. So friends, neighbors, relatives. What we want you to avoid are storm chasers. One of three things could happen if you end up hiring someone who's going door to door. They may have a story of, well, I fixed your neighbor's property. I have a little extra material left over. Can I help you as well? You need to do your research first before just hiring them on the spot. And if they're pressuring you to hire them, that's a red flag. But like I said, a couple of different scenarios may take place after you hire a storm chaser. One is that they will do a shoddy job and then disappear and you can't find them to fix their work. Two is they'll take a large deposit, say they're going to go get supplies, and then they never show back up. And now you're out all of this money. And three is that they actually create more damage. And this is very successful if the damage is in this place you can't really spot yourself, such as the roof or maybe a crawl space. You kind of have to take their word for it. And that's why it's so important that you actually do research before you hire someone.
Mm-hmm. And again, Kristen Johnson is here and we're talking about flooding. You know, Kristen and I were talking about recently there was flooding in Bristol. We know that earlier in the week there was a huge announcement that there's going to be hopefully federal money coming to some of our farms that were absolutely destroyed by the flooding as well. And this is something that many communities go through on a yearly basis. And so we just want to talk about flooding in general and what you should be doing to protect yourselves from scammers. And when you talk about contractors, for example, know what you sign and review your contracts, deposits, and payments, Kristen. Could you talk a little bit about that?
You never want to pay full in advance. Instead, what you want to do is set up a schedule for releasing payments. So you get 30% of the work done, you'll get 30% of the payment. When you get another 30% of the job done, you then release another 30% of the payment. And then when the job is finished, then you finish paying in full. And never, if you are getting money from the insurance company, never just hand that check over to them. We've heard so many reports of people who do that, and then the job is just never finished. And now, you know, your insurance company has given you the money they're going to give you. Some contractor, some shady person has that money, but your house isn't fixed. And now you have to hire someone else to fix it out of your own pocket. So definitely do not pay in full. And make sure everything is in writing. All parts of the job are in writing, and not just an estimate, but an actual like list of what they're going to do and what the prices of the materials are going to be, what those materials are, and a breakdown for labor and supply.
I got a voicemail from the Attorney General in Vermont because of how long I worked in Vermont as a reporter, and I stay on some of those robocalls just in case. And this was a situation where the Attorney General's office sent out a robocall to all Vermonters about an uptick in scams in regards to hearing that their utilities were going to be shut off if they didn't pay more money because of the storm damage up in Vermont. And what would you say about this? Because, you know, whether you are one of the communities in Connecticut that was hit or even in the future, I would think that this is a scam we have heard about before. What do you recommend to people if they were to ever get a text message, an email, or even kind of a shady voicemail like that? That's like, listen, we're shutting your utilities off. We're trying to respond to all of the flood damage. And so you're going to have to pay X amount to take care of this. What would you suggest?
Yeah, this is not a scam special to Vermont. We've seen this in Connecticut. It actually typically happens around this time of year at the height of summer when people are using their air conditioners a lot. They will try to take advantage of people. And of course, these bad actors definitely prey on people in their most vulnerable times. I will tell you that a utility company does not operate that way, at least not a reputable one. So if you get a phone call, hang up, do not even engage. And then look up the actual number for Eversource or whichever utility company you use and call them up and ask, is this a scam? They'll want to know that this is happening so that they can also report it to their customers. If you get a text message or an email, ignore it. There may be a phone number to call or an email address or a website to click on. Those are not reputable. Those will not go to the actual utility company. They'll go to an imposter website. So do not click on them. If it's in an email, you can actually hover over it, and it'll show you the website that it's actually going to. Again, Google the number and call the utility company up. But know that they're just not going to threaten you like that.
Kristen, always important to reiterate, if people want to check if a company or a contractor is reputable or maybe has a track record of being, you know, having scam alerts or anything like that, mm-hmm. does Better Business Bureau have a specific place where they can go to get more information?
So we have two different resources. If you're just doing research and looking for a contractor, maybe you don't have one in mind, go to BBB.org and look up that specific type of contractor, whether it's mitigation services, damage, that sort of thing, debris removal. And then you can look at what's out there. You can look at who's in your area that's accredited. If you want to report someone who's going door to door that you don't think is a real contractor, go to BBB.org/scam tracker. Even if you haven't lost any money, it's important to report it. You can also look up scams. So you can look up that person's name to see if other people have already reported it. It's a great tool to not only protect you, but to protect your neighbors, your friends, others that live in your area. You can look up by zip code and see what scams are out there in your neighborhood. Protect yourself and also protect everyone else that lives in your area so that they don't get scammed as well.
Kristen Johnson, always so helpful to talk to you. Thank you so much. And I'm sure we'll talk again really soon.
Great. Thank you for having me.
All right. Kristen Johnson again for the Better Business Bureau serving Connecticut here on Melissa in the Morning.
Family, relationships, and personal growth. Professional counselor Julius Dudix is here to help. Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
You ever heard the sayings of, I put my foot in my mouth, I spoke too soon. There's a reason God gave you two ears and one mouth, right? We sometimes say things that instantly we're like, ooh, why did I do that? I regret saying that. Well, we're going to talk about the power of the tongue today. We've got Julius Dudix, our morning show counselor, back with us, and we're diving into today's topic. Julius, good morning. I'm curious, have you had a lot of people come to you saying maybe they spoke too soon? They got themselves in a little bit of trouble?
Yeah, good morning, Melissa. Thanks for having me back. Yeah, it's over the years I've had so many people come in terms of relational upheaval because of their tongue, what they've said. In the heat of the battle, sometimes it's what you haven't said too, Melissa, that really kind of needs to be addressed. But the tongue is so very powerful. It can, first of all, I think it reveals what's really going on inside your heart. But people have to understand that you can't take back words. Mm. Once you say something, it just hangs with a person. And sometimes, it's months and sometimes even years before people are able to let go of a negative comment. So it can bring healing or it can bring destruction. But it's got to be harnessed. And we have to understand that words are so powerful. They can destroy or they can build up. And, that's kind of where we're going with this.
Yeah. Why do we do that, Julius? Why do we speak without thinking most times?
Well, I think a lot of it is again, we've always talked about training. You know, you train your brain, you train your tongue. And people sometimes speak out of pain. In a relationship with two people where one is really hurt, they talk out of their pain. And sometimes they say things that are so nasty and so mean and so inappropriate. They're really speaking out of their pain. So the person who's receiving that has to take a step back and say, why is this person really saying what they're saying? And 9 times out of 10, they're hurt, they're speaking out of pain, and then you've got to go deeper. What's that pain all about? And is it really a logical kind of a feeling they should have, or are they building their emotion of anger and frustration on something that's false? See, you've kind of got to understand the other person's perspective. But a lot of times they speak out of pain. A lot of times people just get used to running their mouth, and they don't know when to be quiet. Mm. And there are people that are wired that way. And sometimes it's, there's a part of it that's, I think, genetic. I mean, if you have a mother, grandmother, a grandfather, who used to run their mouth, it could be part genetic, but it also could be part training. But a lot of times you've got to just slow yourself down to really kind of deal with the tongue.
And be able to embrace silence. And we're talking to counselor Julius Dudix, and the power of your tongue, the power of the words that you say, or even sometimes what you don't say. It's interesting, Julius, I don't know if you knew this, but did you know today is the is World Listening Day?
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is so cool.
It is. So today it's been 15 years that World Listening Day has been going on. And really the purpose of World Listening Day is to embrace the natural sounds around us, the trees blowing in the wind, the birds singing in the morning, whatever it may be. But this morning I really wanted to do something a little bit deeper. And I was doing some research as I came in at 3 o'clock, and I'm like, wait a minute. We're horrible at listening. We as humans are terrible at it. Like, we live in an epidemic of not listening to one another. We're distracted constantly. And so I found this guy. I don't know if you've heard of him before. Dave Miller. He's a broadcaster, and he's out in Oregon. He did a TED Talk a few years ago on the art of good listening. And he gave 4 tips. One was to fully listen with all of ourselves. Don't be distracted by other things. Get more comfortable with silence. We're so uncomfortable with silence. Don't assume you know what the person is going to say, and actually care about the person who is talking to you and what they are talking about. And those seem like very elementary things to do, but we're so bad at it. We're so bad. We're really good at talking, but we're really bad at listening.
Yeah, well, listening effectively is a skill that kind of, it's really difficult, first of all, to really listen to somebody, to actively listen to another person. And to maintain eye contact, to concentrate on what's being said, to avoid interrupting, those kinds of things, summarizing for clarity, those are all part of good listening. But it is hard to listen. It really is. And then you ask yourself, why am I a good listener? Do you listen to your spouse at home? Do they listen to you? Do you listen to your best friend? And why aren't we good listeners? Is a good question to address. And I think the reason is a lot of times we have our own agenda and we just want to kind of bulldoze over or plow over, or our voice isn't being heard, or we feel inadequate. But listening is something that is such an important skill in relational building, and it kind of goes along with your tongue.
Yeah. And I think too, Julius, kind of piggybacking what you said, is that you have to train yourself. You know, like you were saying, train yourself to control what you say or think before you speak, things like that, kind of like you need to train yourself to be a good listener. Like the two very much go hand in hand. In fact, absolutely. I believe if you're a better listener than you are a talker, you probably are a better communicator because you're actually focusing on the person ahead of you. I don't know about you, but there's nothing that drives me more crazy than when I'm having a personal conversation with someone and I can see the wheels running in their head. Yeah. I'm like, you are waiting so bad for me to just give you my last sentence so you can just say what you're thinking. And it's not even applicable to what I'm talking about. And that drives me crazy.
Right, exactly. And you mentioned earlier the silence, you know, taking time to just be quiet and process your emotions. It gives your brain that opportunity to just kind of sit back and just kind of think about what you're really feeling. And this way, you're not going to be on so quick to kind of respond when you just practice that discipline of being silent in a conversation, because silence can be a powerful tool in terms of communication. And it just can give you time to really reflect and retool. But people don't do that. They just kind of – sometimes I've had couples over the years where I've said, hey, go home in your next argument. I want you to just – instead of saying what you really want to say to your spouse, walk out of the room and just write down two or three bullet points of what you really want to say.
Mm.
And then revisit it a half hour later. And 9 times out of 10, you really wouldn't say what you were going to say to your spouse.
Right.
But it's out of emotion. It's out of that inability to listen effectively and the practice of silence.
We have our morning show counselor, Julius Dudix, here. We are talking about the power of the tongue and how we can better control the words we really wish didn't slip out. And something that is so profound and true that you said, Julius, is a lot of times we speak and it's not exactly what we mean. So we say things and they could come off as hurtful. They can come off as very narrow-minded, shallow, whatever it is. And it represents something so much bigger that's going on inside of us. And sometimes it may have nothing to do with the person who just happened to have crossed our path at the wrong time. So what do you suggest? You said we could train ourselves to better control our tongue and to be better listeners and to communicate better. What are some prompts? What are some questions that you want people to ask themselves, maybe by themselves or in their heads or journal and write down? What would you suggest for us to better train ourselves?
To better train yourselves, you've got to be more aware of your own inner feelings. And Melissa, you've got to speak truth to yourself, because you're not going to be mentally healthy if you continually compartmentalize your life and you're lying to yourself about how I really feel. There's so much energy in dipping and dodging and not being truthful with yourself. So if you're truthful with yourself, then you can begin to identify sources of why am I feeling exactly what I'm feeling. But in terms of controlling your tongue, you've got to kind of build self-awareness. Where is it that you have the most difficulty controlling your tongue? Is it at home? Is it at work? In stressful situations, you got to get a handle on you know, the awareness of let's identify the problem and become aware of it, because you can't fix what you can't acknowledge. And then secondly, I always encourage my clients to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Quick to listen means you're going to slow down and you're going to be present. Slow to speak means you're going to just really deliberately think before you say things. And it's slow to become angry. But it starts with the listening. You know, don't allow another person that ability to push your buttons, because when you do that, you get emotionally upended inside and you really can't think rationally. And so you're not a really good listener. But be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because sometimes, Melissa, you gotta just hold your tongue. You gotta bite your tongue. And I'm not saying you should avoid issues. But I'm saying that there's a time and a place to address. And sometimes we have to just hold the tongue, because even a fool is thought to be wise if he keeps silent. And even a fool is thought to be discerning if he holds his tongue. But the tongue has so much power.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to learn to hold your tongue and to learn when to approach and when not to approach. And you got to make sure that your brain is engaged before your mouth begins to speak. Mm-hmm. And when you do blow it too, and you will blow it, we all blow it.
Oh, yes.
Accept it, admit it, and kind of seek resolution.
Mm-hmm.
But don't if you said something snarky to somebody and you walk away and you don't readdress it, or, you know, hey, I kind of was out of line when I said that, I apologize, that's going to bring relational healing. Mm-hmm. But if you said something snarky to somebody and you walk away and you stay in your corner, you know, for hours, sometimes days, weeks, that's a recipe for disaster in a relationship.
Yeah,
so,
that's a great point.
Again, a lot of it, Melissa, is building self-awareness and making sure you can, again, I have clients on, they've written on a refrigerator, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. It's all about, again, self-moderation, but understanding on a deeper level, you know, why am I feeling what I'm feeling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some really, really great points. And Julius, I thank you for talking through this with us. And if people want to dive into this more with you, what is your website for them to find contact information and connect with you?
Yeah, you could read about me on njcc.online, N as in Nancy, J as in John, cc.online. Or you can call the office at 203-243-7714.
Julius, I always appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Melissa, I don't have all the answers, but I believe God loves you and God is doing a good work in you, so you keep at it.
Well, thank you. I feel the same way about you, my friend. I appreciate you.
All right.
You too. Julius Dudix here on WICC.